Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks so much for listening to Connecting Faith. Programs like this are possible thanks to listeners like you. You can find out more about supporting Faith Radio on our website, faithradionet.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
It's nice to have you along. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and we get together each day here just to talk about ways we can apply biblical principles to daily life situation and help connect faith to life. And I want to just thank you for listening, by the way. I always appreciate that. You can check us out online if signal's not good where you are for some reason, or that's myfaithradio.com. And you can also check out the podcasts. We post those after each show, and so you can listen to them and pass them on to a friend. And a couple of little drawings, some things that we got going on the website. So if you check it out, and feel free to sign up for that at myfaithradio.com. And I want to thank you, too, for your ongoing support of the ministry. We have many folks that give generously and regularly, and for that we are grateful. We also enjoy getting together with the friends that we've had on before, and that's the case today. We're going to talk a little bit about, finding purpose in living with purpose in a worn-out body, some spiritual encouragement for older adults. We're going to talk about don't write my obituary just yet, some inspiring stories of faith. And a new book from my guest, Missy Buchanan, is called Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. I don't know if we'll get to all 120, but I guess if you want to maybe take out a pen and paper and keep score, we'll see how Missy does. Missy is my guest today. She lives in Rockwell, Texas, with her husband and Barry, and they've got a couple of the cutest ever grandkids, and although I think we could debate about that. We won't, though. But, she's hosts Aging in Faith with Missy Buchanan on Blog Talk Radio and writes a monthly column, Aging Well, for the United Methodist Reporter, and has written a number of books. And the one that we're talking about today is called Joy Boosters, and it's always a joy to talk with you, Missy. How are you?
I am doing great, Neil. Thank you for inviting me to be with you.
Today, I want to find some ways that we can encourage older adults, and this is something that you... This kind of started for you when your mother was aging, is that right?
Or actually, it's with both of my parents.
Okay.
As they, probably in their early to mid 80s, and they had moved into a retirement community. At that point, we're still real active, but time changed things. It is often it does. Either for some people, it's a health crisis. For my parents, it was decline over time, and that they weren't able to do all the things that they had once done, and weren't able to drive back and forth to churches they had. And one day, I remember my mother saying to me that it had been 6 months since she'd been served communion. And my heart just dropped because I had thought all this time that their church was being supportive of them. And I lived about 20, 25 miles away. And so, I was just heartbroken. And as I began to get to know their friends and their neighbors there where they lived, I realized that they were not alone. There were so many others that were saying the same thing. I would hear them say, "How you doing today?" And the other one would answer, "I'm just here." And I remember thinking, that is not God's way, that we live just here. We're called to do more than that. And as the church and as families, that we've got to do more to encourage them. So that's how I first began writing. That first book was Living with Purpose in a Worn-Out Body. And it was really a book of devotions that I had written for my own parents and for others like them. So it's been quite a journey.
And we'll talk in a few minutes about some ways the church can be more intentional about keeping seniors engaged. But let's pick up on that, the talk about purpose, because I think we all need a purpose for life, don't we? Regardless of our age, but are there some ways that we can relook at that when we get into that worn out body stage, as the title suggests?
Absolutely. First of all, we've got to remember that as people do face that physical decline, they're naturally going to feel that sense of purpose, that loss of purpose. And they're going to ask themselves, why am I still around? I can't do anything. And we live in a culture that's telling them that young is better, you know. So as the body of Christ, first of all, we've got to stand counter to culture and remind older adults that they do still have purpose. And then that is exactly why I began to write Joy Boosters, because I wanted churches and family members to have ways that they could come alongside older adults and encourage them. And I found that so many, not just church members, but family members too, were kind of at a loss. It was like, I don't know what to do with mom. Either they would be frustrated or you know, just really didn't know what to do. And so I just began to compile just these 120 ways, simple little ways that can be adapted and you know, so that they will have a way to start to know how they can interact with that older loved one.
Well, let's actually start with that, this, the whole issue of interacting, because I think sometimes the conversations get a little difficult. And we were just chatting before the program that, you know, we've probably all been guilty of rolling our eyes a time or two because, you know, because mom is still mom no matter what age, you know.
That's true, and that's one thing that I always caution when I speak to groups that have middle-aged, you know, sons and daughters. I say, don't roll your eyes at them. You know, first of all, we got to remember that it's not really a role reversal. Your aging parent is not really becoming a child, even though they may have to depend on you more, and they, you know, that kind of thing. That if we begin to think of our parents as children, then we lose that respect and that dignity that we need to provide them, that we're called to provide them. So, you know, first of all, just remembering that they are persons who have had a long history and so many stories. And always remind those adult children, one day they're not going to be there to retell that story. So even though you've heard it 100 times, you know, just try to graciously listen to it one more time. I think that's important.
Are there some ways, though, that maybe we can learn new things? I mean, some of us, you know, grew up with the parents in that the greatest generation. You know, they didn't always say much, you know, about what life was like. So, and we get sort of stuck in maybe our own little routines and don't realize that there's maybe a wealth of information there if we could just draw them out.
Absolutely, and it can start with just simple questions, and that's one of the first chapters that I have is just talking about some, just like little story prompts, you know, something that you can go in and ask, whether it's your loved one or whether it's someone that you're meeting for the first time if you're on a church visitation group. You know, I think about, there was a group of men that would eat at the retirement community that I visit each week, and I noticed that they would just kind of sit, not really talk. You know, they just, which to me was like, oh, they need to be joining in community and sharing and whatever, but they just weren't. And so one day I remember pulling up a chair, and I said, you know, tell me about your favorite vacation. Well, their eyes just lit up, and they sat up, and it was just the most interesting thing because one of them had played golf at St. Andrews in Scotland, and another one talked about going on the Great Wall in China, and then another one driving his RV to Alaska, and it opened up all this conversation that here these same people had been sitting together day after day after day, and yet they didn't know these things about each other because they didn't have that shared history. And as they began to talk, I could just see their faces lighten. You know, it was just the greatest thing. And then I think about another gentleman that he was kind of known in one of the communities that I visit as being a grump. I mean, he was just kind of a sourpuss and hard to get along with. And I remember asking him one day, I thought he was so hard to want to be around, but I finally thought, no, I need to do this. And I said, tell me about your life before you moved here. Well, he started telling me that he had played an instrument in the symphony in San Diego. And he just, again, you know, his face lightened. He was so excited to share this. And from that point on, we began to build a relationship so that a few months later when he came in, and he drove a power chair, and he drove right up to me, and he said, I have to tell you something. I have cancer. And I looked at him. I put my hand on his, and I said, oh, I will pray for you. And he said, I knew you would. That's why I came here to tell you. Well, that just totally impacted me because my first inclination in dealing with him was that, you know, he was not pleasant to be around. And I really didn't want to strike up a conversation with him. But I think about what would not have happened had I not asked that first question. So, you know, again, the book has just a list of questions, easy things, you know, about your first paid job, or how did you learn how to drive? Who taught you? Or, you know, what did you drive? And just all kinds of things like that. Nothing mind-boggling, but things that just that communication ball to roll.
Are there some things that you maybe you wouldn't talk about, or topics or questions that we should avoid?
Well, I'll tell you, there's one question that I always tell, you know, the middle-aged people and whatever, be careful if you say anything like, why can't you be more like fill in the blank? Because I noticed that there's a tendency among middle-aged adults to want to compare their parent to someone else. And we need to be really, really careful about that. So, you know, or if they're having a bad day, then I don't think you'd want to go to them and say, why are you just having a pity party? You know, there's something behind that pity party, and that we need to learn to be more empathetic and to find out what it is they're afraid of. You know, what is there a loss? Is there something going on? Like the gentleman I was talking about, you know, that had played for the symphony, came to find out all kinds of things that had gone wrong in his life, losses that he had experienced. And as I listened to those, then he in turn began to be more gracious. So I think the questions we need to avoid, are, as much as anything, it's the tone in which we ask them, that we need to think about being inviting and warm and not judgmental, and just as we would want to be approached.
Missy Buchanan is my guest. I enjoy visiting with her. She hosts a blog talk radio program called Aging and Faith with Missy Buchanan. She writes a monthly column called Aging Well for the United Methodist Reporter. She's written a number of books. The new one we're talking about is called Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. Just a short little book, but it's got some great resources in it. In fact, we'll do a little drawing. We've got a couple of copies that we can give away. But if you'd like to be in on that, feel free to give us a call and join the conversation, too. You know, we'd love to hear maybe how you've been able to help aging parents or friends or loved ones, just to make some of those important transitions, maybe to a new place to live, or talk about maybe what your church is doing to help stay connected. We'll get into that and more. Love to have you on board with us at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, you want to drop us a note via email, you can go to myfaithradio.com.
Susan had turned her life around by turning to Jesus, and now she was on talk radio with three other women still in the business discussing lifestyle choices in Las Vegas. Hey, this is Debbie Griffith with Everyday Matters. The host and others on the panel were repeatedly asking Susan, where was God when you were in this business? Why didn't he save you? And Susan replied, God was always with me. It was I who left him. The others clearly did not have a relationship with Christ. They didn't know of his great love for them, and so they had no respect for God or his ways. But Susan understood completely, and she said, Christ gives us all a free will, but it's our choice whether we want to have him in our lives or not. Without knowing the relationship that brings love and freedom, a person is only going to see God's laws as bringing judgment and bondage. But as Proverbs 28:5 says, those who seek the Lord understand fully every day. Find encouragement for your day at DebbieGriffith.com.
Eighteen past the hour on Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and talking today with Missy Buchanan. Missy's a popular author, writer, and speaker on topics of aging and faith. Books like My Story, My Song, Mother-Daughter Reflections on Life and Faith. That's a project that she wrote with Robin Roberts and the co-anchor Good Morning America and her 87-year-old mother, Lucy Marine. And she's also written Living with Purpose in a Worn-Out Body, Spiritual Encouragement for Older Adults. The one we're talking about today is called Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. You see, it seems like as we go through some of these ways, a variety of things, whether it's conversation or it's related to church or just kind of helping make memories. It all seems like it centers around the time. It takes time. What do you say to us when our parents are aging and our life is busy?
I say give the gift of time. There is not anything that is more important in building and maintaining relationships with older adults than time. I remember writing a piece not too long ago about, before Christmas, about how quick we are, you know, to get on the internet and go click, click, and we've ordered something to be delivered to their house, and it's like we're done. You know, we think we've accomplished what we needed to accomplish. And we forget that what they really want is your time. And it's hard. It's hard in our society when we're all as busy as we are and running 1,000 different directions. I have found this to be true for myself. My parents are now deceased, but I carve out time every Tuesday. That is my day that I go visit my older adult friends in 3 different care centers. And if I don't carve out that time, then I'm not likely to do it, you know? And I think we've got to be more intentional, and that goes for churches, that goes for families, that we've got to be willing to invest ourselves in their lives. And there's just no other way around it. I mean, that's what it's got to take.
You know, I'm sure that there are many, you know, churches that, you know, aren't intentionally trying to not engage seniors in keeping an active faith.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about what churches can do to be intentional, and maybe just, you know, we'll get more into some of our joy boosters as well individually. But let's talk churches for a moment.
Well, the first thing I would say is don't be a poinsettia church. Now, that probably doesn't make sense, but what I mean by a poinsettia church is that there are a lot of churches that they go all out at Christmas time, and they take the poinsettias and they do caroling and whatever, and then they disappear until maybe Easter or maybe until next Christmas. And that is just not going to do it for our older adults. We've got to be intentional about making a commitment to them. There's a story of a woman that I met, probably 3 or 4 months ago, and she was seated in her wheelchair right at the door of an assisted living community. And she was dressed up, she had her pearls on and her pearl earrings, and she looked so pretty. I did not know her, but I stopped to visit with her as I came in the door to visit my friends. And came to find out that she was there waiting because her church comes on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. Well, I happened to be earlier than I normally was, and so, you know, we just sat and talked. At 10 o'clock, in walks a group of 6, maybe 8 people. And she just smiled. She said, "This is my church. They come to visit. They come every week. Tuesday is my favorite day of the week." That's what we have to model. You know, we have to be willing to be consistent, to build and nurture relationships, not just to drop in occasionally and then pat ourselves on the back and say, "Oh, haven't we done a good time? You know, we've done a good thing." So I think there are a lot of things that we can do. I always encourage groups, you know, if they're going to visit, be sure that you wear like large name tags so that that older person, you may have known them forever, you know, if you're with a church group, that you may have known that person forever, but you forget that it's difficult sometimes for them to recall names, and that makes them more comfortable if they can look at your name and go, "Oh, yes, that's Mary or Susan or whatever." And then set a specific time, just like this woman was waiting. She, you know, if you just drop in without calling or without knowing what their caregiver schedule is or whether or not they're in therapy or something like that, then, you know, you're very likely to miss them. For my mother, I know it would be difficult for her because she had a 2-room thing, and sometimes she would be in the back room and she wouldn't hear whoever came. So I think it's good if you can set up a particular time so that they know to look for you. I think that's real important. And then I love to see groups like youth groups get involved. Youth groups that are going on a mission trip, if they, you know, maybe representatives of their group go to meet with an older adult from their church and they take their itinerary and say, "Now this is what we're going to be doing and this is where we're going to be. Would you pray for us each day?" That gives that older adult some connection with the youth. And then I encourage the youth to either take a sign or enlarge a photo of that older adult and take it with them in their group. And when they get out to stop and, you know, at a photo op or whatever, or somewhere on their mission trip route, to take photos and to send those back then, you know, on, in a card or something to that older adult to let them feel like, you know, you've been part of our mission trip, and we appreciate that. That brings the generations together in ministry in ways I think is really wonderful. And then, like, if there's a children's program at church that, you know, invite the older adults, maybe from a retirement community or something, let them come be the audience for the dress rehearsal. And the reason I say the dress rehearsal is that, you know, usually there's not going to be as many people there. It's not as chaotic. They get to be the audience. The children have an audience. And then maybe have like a little reception afterwards that, again, brings those generations together. But those are just some types of the things that you can do, you know. But it goes back to that one thing about being consistent and building and nurturing relationships.
Talking with Ms. Buchanan from her book, Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults, and we want to continue to do that throughout the hour. If you'd like to join the conversation and maybe you have a question or an example of how it's been working in your church or your family, we'd love to hear about it. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Nancy's joining us today and has some questions about those in assisted living. Nancy, you're on with Mr. Buchanan. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. My question is, how can we encourage friendships within the people who are living together in the assisted living or nursing homes? Because my mom wasn't in assisted living, and now she's in a nursing home. It's been over a little bit up to a year in the nursing home, and she finally has a really good friend, a buddy, that she's developed this friendship, but it's taken a long time. And it really has made a huge difference in her experience there. And I'm wondering what we can do to encourage friendship building.
Absolutely. Oh, that is such a great question. And I think the example that I was giving when I would go and sit with the older adults, the men, and I was asking the question, you know, about a travel question and all, I had been there visiting my mother at that time, you know, and I would just at lunchtime go over and visit with other tables. For my mother, I know it was more difficult for her than for my dad to make new friends. So any time that we could make connections, you know, and sometimes I could be that glue, as if there was a new resident that came, that I could talk to that new resident and then, you know, kind of introduce her to mother and find some common ground, things that they had that were in common. And usually that begins it, whether it's a hobby or whether it's, you know, the travel, whatever it might have been, to give them, sometimes they have a hard time finding that connection themselves, but if they can have a third party in there to ask them questions and to bring them together, I think that's very helpful. And you're right, because if you think about it, it's hard for older adults to make new friends. Many of them don't want to invest because they're afraid that that person's going to die or going to move. And that is just the reality. And so it's another reason that we need to be there to kind of help them expand that group. But that having those friendships is just huge. They'll get up and go do something with another person who encourages them. You know, we've got to encourage each other. So I think, you know, as much as you can to help your mom find common ground with other people.
I was thinking, too, even those that may not be in assisted living, I'm sure they have, you know, many have, you know, activities and programs that are sort of designed to
right.
work, and some probably work better than others. But I think if somebody is living on their own, maybe could become isolated. And, you know, if many of their friends have passed away, well, then that does put them in a, you know, they're short on friends, then, aren't they?
That's exactly right. One of there was a group of men, a different group of men that sat together at a table, and they were so sad one day, and I found out that one member of their group was going to be moving to an assisted living center. It was about 20, 25 miles away, and they were sad, and I understood their sadness, but then one of them said, because we probably will never see him again. Well, then that you know, it dawned on me. I thought, well, they can't drive, and the center is not going to take them that far to go visit a friend. And I think that they really hesitated in asking family members, thinking they were, you know, going to be using up their time and whatever. And so, you know, as soon as I understood, then I was like, I'll take you. Well, we began to do that, you know. And so I would take them to go visit their friend who had moved. So if when someone's homebound, we need to think about that. You know, if your parent is one that's in a community but has a homebound friend, then sometimes what they need is the transportation. They need a chauffeur, and they need you to help think of it and to say, I can take you. I will do that.
Just little bits of encouragement that go a long way.
Absolutely. Huge, you know, and if you think about it, if we just put ourselves in their shoes and let ourselves feel what they're feeling, then it begins to be more clear. I always tell people whose parents are moving into, particularly into large communities or whatever, I said, you've got to understand, for them it's going to feel like, in many ways, the first day of school. Because if they don't know people that already live there, they're going into it thinking, is this person going to like me? Can I sit here? You know, is that, you know, just all those things that we felt as we grew up on that first day of school, they're going to feel also.
We're going to talk more practical ways. Well, we're calling it the Joy Boosters, 120 ways to encourage older adults and maybe challenge us as well. Missy Buchanan is sharing with us. She's a popular author and writer and speaker on topics of aging and faith. And her book, Joy Boosters, is the latest. We've got some copies we'll do a drawing for today. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can call us at 877-933-2484. I'd like to find out how it's working for you, or if you have some specific questions for Missy, she'd be glad to offer some good counsel and advice. We'll talk more a little bit about maybe making those moves to assisted living. And other questions coming up at 877-93-FAITH. This is Connecting Faith. Good to have you listening in today on Connecting Faith, talking with Missy Buchanan. Missy's been a guest in the past. We're happy to welcome her back. She's written a number of books on aging and faith, including A Living with Purpose and A Worn-Out Body, Spiritual Encouragement for Older Adults. And one of her more recent ones is called My Story, My Song, Mother-Daughter Reflections on Life and Faith, the project she did with Robin Roberts, co-anchor of Good Morning America, and her mother. The one we're referencing today is called Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. And we're talking a little bit about making those adjustments and the transitions. But mention about, moving to assisted living or, like the first day of school. Let's talk a little bit about how we can help our aging parents or friends when they move. I mean, I think one of the things that we often think about is, well, what do we keep? What do we let go? And when does that process start?
You know, paring down is hard for any one of us, particularly for us women, you know. And it is so critical, I think, that adult children not put a lot of pressure on their parents in terms of trying to do it all at once. So I would encourage, wherever your older parents are on the timeline, I would say, begin now and begin to sort through things. What I have found is that most older adults are fearful that the things that they've worked hard for all their life are not going to be valued by someone else. And that really bothers them to think about, this lamp, this whatever, it's just going to be thrown out, or it's going to have a $2 sticker on it in a garage sale. So I think it's important that we go through things with them gently and help them determine what's a keepsake and what is just stuff. Because they'll all admit that they've just got stuff, too. And that's going to take time, just like we were talking about a while ago. This is not a fast process. And don't dismiss their feelings. You may not know why something is important to her when to you it just may seem like this green vase, Then you find out, perhaps you didn't know the story that, the father had given it to her on a first date or something. There could be some sentimental value that oftentimes we don't know. So it's important, take it in bits. Take a closet or even a shelf at a time and say, let's sort through this. You tell me the story. And then be sure that you capture that story. As I helped my mother and my father change and transition to a retirement community, I began to ask questions about things that I had been around all my life but I didn't know the story of them. And there was a painting that had hung in our living room forever. And you know how you just take those things for granted? Well, I came to find out that my grandmother's sister had painted it, and she died at the age of 18, and she had been ill the last 2 years of her life and had taught herself to paint. Well, that painting took on a whole new meaning for me. And so then I began to write that, and I put it on the back of the painting so that our children will know that story. I mean, I've told it to them, but, it's hard to remember all those things. So as you're going through, find out those stories and then write them down, whether it's to put in the object or put in a journal or something so that you've got that. And the other thing is that I know with my own mother that I realized that she was paralyzed, not physically, but emotionally, when it came to move from her home into a retirement community. It wasn't that she didn't want to move, she did, but the whole idea of what to do with all that stuff was overwhelming. For her and for my dad, we were able to move them first and then take our time to go back through the house. And I realize that's not feasible in every situation. But to understand that it may not be that they're just, are not willing to move. It's just that I don't know how in the world I'm going to get from A to B. And so to begin with that now, whether it's a closet or a shelf or, a box of photographs, whatever it may be, to start that process, to begin to make that transition, that makes it a lot easier.
In your book, Joy Boosters, you have a short little chapter on transitioning to a new home. I had just a couple of great ideas of that. You talked about personalized change of address cards and then about actually asking your minister to preside over a Bless This Home service. And I thought, but,
yeah.
So talk a little bit about the cards and, that opportunity to really, involve the pastor and the ministry involved.
Absolutely. Well, the personalized change of address cards, you can take a picture of your loved one at their new residence, with a big smile on her face or whatever, and to make sure that you've got her new mailing address. And then send that out to a lot of friends, to all those in her Christmas card list and whatever, so that she, number one, they're aware that she's moving, and number two, they're going to have that address so they can send her cards and send her little notes along the way. Then the Blessed is Home worship services, it's such a simple idea, but it is so critical in helping an older adult have the right attitude when they're moving into that new place. And that is just to have a small group of friends, family, or whatever, ask your minister to be involved, to bless this home, to offer scripture, to sing hymns, and then make it a celebration. But it sets the tone for leaning forward into life, that we're going to have a new chapter in life. And I think that really helps. And it also gets the friends and family into the new place where she's going to live so that they can see it and be a part of that.
Hey, talking about singing hymns, you have a little chapter about music for older ears as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Music is just universal. It is so critical to all of us, and it has a way of connecting people. And I remember being at a 65th wedding anniversary, and there were people that had come walking using walkers and canes, and they were slow. But when the polka music started, my goodness, they were all out on the dance floor. It was precious. And, that just reminded me how important music is. So whether it's, a concert for one, if the person is homebound, that, and your daughter is a clarinetist or whatever, then let him go give a performance just for that homebound person. Or if it's in a retirement community, that doesn't matter if it's a child that's learning to play something, or if you hire a barbershop quartet, it to bring music into them and then to allow them to participate too. Talk about using rhythm instruments and kazoo band. One of my favorite groups here locally, it is in a retirement community, and they have a kazoo band, and they have more fun. Music has a way of doing that, whether it's name that hymn and they're listening to just a few bars of a hymn and then trying to name it, they'll get very competitive and have a great time with that. Or whether it's a jazz concert done by a high school jazz ensemble, it doesn't matter, but do it. Help them to find music.
You mentioned that when you're doing some of your visits to several of these assisted living homes that you've gotten to the habit of just being a little bit of a chauffeur. Talk about maybe some examples of good and maybe some bad travel experiences with older adults.
Oh, there are plenty of those. Number one, I would say, to not have a bad travel experience means that you need to plan ahead. And again, put yourself into their shoes and try to think, now, what are their concerns? Well, they may be concerned about bathroom stops, or maybe concerned about getting into a car that's too low or too high. I have one older friend that every time his family comes to pick him up, he just struggles so because they have a pickup. And it's really physically difficult for him to get there. So it may mean trading off a car for those that are disabled, that you can rent a handicap van, even at least around here you can do it by the hour. You know, so that just makes it easier if they're in a wheelchair or a power chair. But to think about seasonal day trips, you know, in the summer that it's just a little trip to the farmer's market just to be out and about or to get a lemonade, or if it's in the spring to let's go see the dogwood trees, you know, or the azaleas or whatever it is, just something to break that routine and to get them out and about and a part of nature. As far as being a chauffeur, it goes back to that story I was telling about the men, and they just needed someone to take them somewhere, you know. It may be that your loved one just would like to get out and drive around, you know, and you can say, you know, is there someplace you'd like to go? If not, let's just drive around town. Let's go to the old neighborhood. Let's see what's happening at the park. But to be their chauffeur and to allow them that time just to be a part of the world. We forget that if they're closed off, that is really a huge thing. So, you know, plan well, allow plenty of time, knowing that it's going to take longer to get in and out. You know, all of those things. Know where if you're going to a park, know, is there handicap parking there? Is there a place for bathrooms nearby? You know, just do your homework ahead of time, and it makes the whole experience so much better.
Yeah, back in farm country where I grew up, I mean, it was Sunday afternoons. We're out driving around looking at the corn and beans. So
there you go.
That's, you know, didn't have to be, you know, as kids, we'd like to have actually gone somewhere, but it was just driving around.
That's okay. Yeah. I bet there are plenty of people that would enjoy just going out and looking at the corn and beans.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, I got a nice note from Ray. She writes in on myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. She says, when I was homeschooling and also doing daycare, so we would go to a nursing home every other week to see the grandma and grandpas to draw pictures and play simple games. The people there would love it when we came.
Absolutely. You know, for many of them, that's the only time that they get to see young people. You know, so you have to remember that some of these residents don't have visitors. And so that, you know, for them to have young people come in, it just brings joy into their life. So kudos to her for doing that. That's great.
Yeah, good word. Missy Buchanan's my guest today. And we're talking about joy boosters, 120 ways to encourage older adults. Had another listener who asked if we could talk about what do we do when churches are so quick to kind of separate by age. That's obviously convenient, but are there some ways that we can counteract that?
You know, and that's such a good question, because churches don't intentionally, we plan it that way in terms of children's groups, youth groups, adults, and whatever, you know, but we don't intentionally mean to keep everybody apart. But we forget that there are very few ways that we're currently doing to bring them together. And so, absolutely, yes, one of the things, this could be a family could do, this would be a family trivia test where you ask the older adult to help you create a trivia test, you know, name three members of the family who share the same middle name, or what family member once rode in the Rose Bowl parade, or, you know, whatever. But for churches, things like multi-generational Bible study. I love the ones particularly where the church goes to the retirement community or the nursing home or the assisted living. They take their members there and have a study. I think that's so grand. We just can't expect them to always be able to come to the church. So the church needs to go to them as well. Another group I know that they have computer buddies, and the church volunteers that are, you know, tech savvy and whatever are matched with an older adult who wants to learn perhaps just basic computer skills, how to send an email or how to store digital photos or, you know, whatever. Some even on Facebook and whatever. On vacations, you know, ask the children of the church to send postcards back to older adult members, whatever, tell them about what they've seen that day or what they've done. And then there's a youth group that I know that did personalized yard signs. They had adopted different older adults in their church, and one per month, they would just, you know, make a special celebration of that person's life. And one of the things they did would be to write, you know, signs, and they would say, "Have a blessed day," or "I'm thinking of you." And then one morning they would get up early and they would go put them in the older person's yard. So when that person came out, you know, they were surprised with this whole sea of signs. But how much fun would that be if you're an older adult, you know, and you're just facing a day more like another day, you know, to walk out and to see that inspiring and inspirational thing. So,
talking Joy Boosters today with Missy Buchanan. And, in fact, she talked a little bit about computer buddies. We're going to talk about technology and maybe those that are separated by distance from families and things that we can do there specifically. Welcome you to join the conversation as well. We do have some copies of Joy Busters. We'll give away, do a little drawing, so you can call and register. You can be in on that at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Love to know if you have some questions or some examples of how you've been able to help kind of bridge those generational gaps and offer some encouragement to older adults. You can call us at 877-93-FAITH.
Beyond the Call with Wayne Peterson, president of HCJB Global.
What would it be like if we could carry our church with us wherever we went? Well, for those who attend St. Pixels, all they have to do is pick up their phone or computer. The first of its kind, St. Pixels is an interactive online church service that anyone on Facebook can use. Worshippers across the world can listen to Bible readings and a full sermon. They can also sing along to hymns and submit prayer requests. Mark, the website's creator, says if the gospel is for today's connected culture, it has to find a distinctive but culturally appropriate place within social networking. St. Pixels now has more than 70 online members from around the world. You, too, can find creative ways to go beyond the call. Visit us online at hcjb.org.
For more stories of men and women going beyond the call, visit hcjb.org.
Well, we're at 48 past the hour and talking today with Missy Buchanan. And Missy lives in Texas and is a popular author and writer and speaker on topics of aging and faith. And we're talking about one of her new little books called Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. And we've gotten through a number of those ways. And hopefully, as you've listened, you've thought of maybe a couple that you can create on your own. But you mentioned computer buddies and technology. You know, it seems like there are many older adults that are really finding the wonder of email and Skype and those things is a great way to stay connected. Talk a bit about technology and maybe connections when your family is many miles or states away.
Absolutely. Well, technology is just marvelous for the things that it offers older adults. Now, I have several of my older buddies that are on Facebook, and you know, and they love once they got a hang of it, you know, they love being able to see the photos and to see, you know, pictures of their videos of their grandkids and whatever. Just that's been such a blessing. But there are, you know, so many times that it seems like a no-brainer, you know, to keep in contact with older adults. But if you're far away, sometimes it becomes a matter of out of sight, out of mind. Others feel a lot of guilt because they're not there, they're not nearby when mom needs something. One of the things I encourage people to do is to make a little pocket prayers, and they'll just make your own little laminated cards, you know, and each family member would write something like, you know, a grandchild might say, you know, "Oh God, help my gramps to know how much I love him. Let him feel my hug, you know, in Christ's name I pray, amen." It could be something as simple as that. But these are prayers then that your older loved one can keep in their pocket and pull it out, you know, on a given day when they need a little boost. I always tell those who live far away to remember too that, you know, whether it's a Remember When book, don't wait until a person dies to honor their life. You know, those that are living far away, they could do a Remember When book and compile stories. And I remember when we did that and had pictures in there that you can use. You know, they could use technology in order to make this little book and send it to their aging loved one. what a joy that is. That person's going to enjoy just being able to go page by page, you know, again and again and again. Another thing I love to do is that if your aging loved one has given you a family heirloom, a piece of furniture, a quilt, a chair, whatever it might be, and you are now using that in your home, then take a picture. Take a picture of that curio cabinet that your mother gave you, but now you live 2,000 miles away. Take a picture of how you are using that and send it to her so that she will have the joy of seeing that and knowing that you're enjoying that item that you that she had given you, and that you are showing her respect. You know, it's showing that you are honoring her by using something that she had loved so much. And then sometimes we need to go back to old school. You know, sometimes we need to think in the old ways, and that is writing a letter. There's nothing I don't think that an older adult cherishes more than a handwritten letter. I will see them carry, you know, if they got something in the mail that day, and they'll open it up at the dining table, and they'll share it with others, and they'll keep it in that pocket and carry it around with them for a long time. So sometimes, you know, just the old school way of just writing a letter, not just a card, but a real letter. That's just special.
I was thinking, you know, with photos, it's so easy now today. I mean, if you get a printer, color printer, you can, or you can email if they have that, or there's certainly great ways to just use photos, especially to keep a connection.
Absolutely.
Hey, talk about, are there special recommendations or ideas for holidays or special days? You know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and Lent and Easter not that far away. Any thoughts there?
Well, one of the things I love at Valentine's is to host either at your home or at a church or at one of the retirement communities, but involve all a group of widows, because you know they may be grieving the loss of a longtime spouse, and so if you just have like a little Valentine's celebration, if it's for, say, your mother or something, you may want to pull out the china that she gave you, you know, or something that was special. But just they enjoy that so much, and it does not have to be a large group. It could just be you and that other person, you know, if they're in a nursing home. And that, just to take a little basket that has your tea for two in it and sit with them, make them feel special. They will enjoy that. For the gentleman, you could do the same idea, but do it for a Valentine breakfast or something. For Lent and Easter, during Lent, I always encourage people to write a blessing each day and to drop it in a blessing box. And you could make them a blessing box, or it could be a blessing bowl. It doesn't matter. But then all during Lent, they are collecting these blessings. And on Easter Sunday, to open those and read those. You know, sometimes they forget how many blessings are right in front of them and until they intentionally are looking for them. And so that's just kind of a fun way. And then whether it's birthdays, you know, if someone's turning 84, then maybe in advance you gather 84 written memories and frame them so that she'll see those each day, that there are 84, whether they're from other people or whether you write them all, you know, but there are 84 special memories that are written down. Or for an anniversary, if they're turning 60, that make it something for missions or a fundraiser, that instead of gifts that they really don't need, say, bring 60 cans of soup for the food pantry or something like that. So turn it into a mission, and they will be so richly rewarded by that.
Missy, we start out talking this hour about living with purpose in a worn-out body, spiritual encouragement for older adults. The book we've been referencing today, Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. But I'm wondering if you'd maybe speak to those in our audience today that are in that senior category, and maybe just talk about what would you say about living on purpose and maybe passing on a legacy, and what would you say to those that are facing some of these challenges?
I would say two words, lean forward. And that is so huge. When our mindset is such that we are going to lean forward and all the rest of us hopefully are surrounding that person, cheering them on, not that we always will celebrate, and we need to celebrate the past. We don't want to live there. And I tell people, I say, don't park your RV on memory lane and stay there. You know, we need to celebrate what's gone on behind us, but we need to look forward. And so the things that we can do to remember, you know, every day that what we are doing is that we are writing our funeral. We're writing our funeral sermon with how we are choosing to live today. So one woman I know, and I write about this in Joy Boosters, is she has a journal for every one of her grandchildren. And then she personalizes it. She just adds to it as she can. She's in her 90s now. And you think, oh, my goodness, what a wonderful thing she's going to give once she's gone. She's not giving it to them until she dies because she continues to add to it. But each one is unique to that individual. Whether it's a, you know, video storybook to sit down with that older adult, use some of the questions that are there in the first part of the book and ask them to share those stories and get it on video. You know, get it on video, whether it's just with your iPhone or whatever. Don't wait. So often, middle-aged children, whatever, they wait. It's like, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, and they never get around to it. So I say, do it. Do it. Start on it now.
You've got a couple little grandsons. Are you finding ways to maybe encourage them and their parents to be thinking more about older adults as well?
And yeah, they can't be around me without thinking about older adults because I talk about it Absolutely. You know, I love it. They don't live in the same town I do. But when I'm down there to visit, one of my favorite things to do is to go with them to visit an older friend that my son and daughter-in-law have made. And he is right at 90. And I take those boys to go be a part of his life because it's critical to me that they, you know, they're going to learn to be empathetic and they're going to learn to be those that care about older adults, then they need to be with them. And so that, you know, the one of the best things that younger families can do is to be intentional in that effort to have relationships with older adults.
Missy, it's always nice to talk with you and wish you a great year ahead and wonderful more stories as you continue to share love in very practical, hands-on ways to those older adults in your circle of friends.
Thank you so much, Neil. I appreciate being with you today.
Missy Buchanan is the author of several books, including Joy Boosters, 120 Ways to Encourage Older Adults. You want to find out more about her regular writings and speaking and schedule, all that, you can go to our website. It's missybuchanan.com, missybuchanan.com. I encourage you to check that out and find out about some of the great resources that she's got available and also has books that would be particularly appropriate for maybe an older person in your life, Aging Faithfully, 28 Days of Prayer. And there's Don't Write My Obituary Just Yet, Inspiring Faith Stories for Older Adults, and much more. And so hopefully the book today and our discussion is helpful and encourage you to maybe tell a friend or listen to the podcast or share it with a friend, too, and let them know. The website, by the way, is myfaithradio.com. And then you can click on the Connecting Faith show page to get the podcast archives. And thanks so much for listening. I want to encourage you to listen tomorrow, Friday, every Friday here at noon. It's the conversation with Julie, Cindy, and Heather. And tomorrow they're checking in with our own Susie Larson. We're going to talk about her latest book on living on purpose. So check that out noon tomorrow right here on Faith Radio.